3 years ago on Perry Street is still boarded up, and that's concerning neighbors. Ken Rogers of Lambertville Construction Official and a building subcode official said few people have complained to his office about the condition of that building. He said it isn't an imminent hazard and therefore isn't something the city would take action to correct. Rogers said the building's windows were boarded up to discourage entry. The building is an unsafe structure to occupy, he said, but it's not in danger of collapse. After the fire in December of 2011, then City Fire Chief Ron Tillett Jr. said the duplex, which was occupied by tenants, was a shell. The roof is mostly burned off the building. The second floor is completely gutted, and there's extensive water and overhaul damage to the first floor apartment. Property owner Gary Carlsrud since received city approvals to rebuild, but Rogers said on January 28th that Carlsrud has apparently changed his mind about what he's going to do. He said the owner has a permit to tear the residence down, but would not be required to take that step unless it becomes an imminent hazard. Were it to reach that point, the city would take action. In 2001, the city ordered the owners of a property damaged by fire to start repairs or have row houses demolished, but only after the city's construction officials ruled that they were a health and safety hazard. And in 2012, the former Lambertville High School was demolished almost 20 years after the first notice of imminent hazard was issued. That notice has also followed a fire. So it's unfortunate, but apparently everybody's working within the means that has been discussed at this point. And we finish up with an article here by Lewis C. Hockman of NJ Advance, saying that baby bear cubs recovering, eating well after mom dies in a bizarre accident. And it's in Pittstown. The baby bear is rescued after the mother was killed in what state officials called a bizarre accidental encounter with a deer hunter are growing and doing well, according to Woodlands Wildlife Refuge. The refuge, which took the then one-week-old bears in about 2 weeks ago, said on Facebook Wednesday, Mike and Ike have both taken to feeding on schedule. While one has eaten well since the first week, the other had been fussy during some or most feedings, group wrote, but we're finally both eating regularly, and they are up to 1.3 pounds each, up from 1 pound each they weighed when brought in. According to the State Department of Environmental Protection, an off-duty police officer hunting deer in Alamuchi State Park stepped on the cub's mother accidentally while making his way over a downed tree. The hunter couldn't see the mother bear, and the mother bear had no way to know she and the cubs she was protecting underneath weren't being attacked, DEP spokesman Larry Raganese said. The mother bear clawed at and bit the hunter's foot, and he eventually shot her, unable to get free. Raganese said, two more cubs were found dead after the incident, likely crushed in the struggle, Raganese said. But the bears, now known as Mike and Ike, survived and have been in Pittstown-based refuge care since. The refuge plans to continue to care for the cubs until it can find a nursing bear in the wild to take over for it. We think we're really good, but mom bears out there can do a better job than us, Tracy Lever, executive director at the refuge, said earlier this month. In comments on Wednesday's Facebook post, fans of the refuge thanked it for its work with the cubs. Quote, they sound just like our own babies when they were the teeny tiny, a fan of the refuge, Wendy Tennis, wrote. Aw, I still feel bad. Their mom and sibs are gone, but Tracy, you guys are beyond amazing. I hope you all have an idea of just what a wonderful work you do for the planet's critters. I, for one, am extremely grateful and crying. Love you all. So there you have it. The Bayers are doing fine, and they're working hard to find, hopefully, a surrogate mother to take care of them. It's 9:56. It's time for me to get on out of here. Gonna make my way out the door. Hands across Hunterdon. Susan Lax came on in. Excuse me. Holistic around Hunterdon. Susan Lax came on in and said she's got a meeting she's taking care of, so we're going to run next last week's show. And then we'll be back to live at 11 o'clock. It's been my pleasure to be with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to Michelle, Mike, and Jane for their contributions to the show. I'll be back again Monday morning. Don't know if I'll be in the studio or not, but I'll be on. Vincent Arlenas says, never say I should have. Well, slam dunk, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday night into Monday morning, we are expecting some pretty significant snowfall amounts as of right now. And we're expecting some windy conditions tonight and cold conditions. Make your plans accordingly, whether it's for heat, for shelter, for commute, whatever have you. The weather is going to affect you. Make your plans now. Talk with you tomorrow. Have a great weekend. You can listen to Good Morning on InHuntingChamberRadio.com.
Coming to you from HuntingChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon. HuntingChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News. I'm Ron Taylor. Two-time Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney will update his supporters today on whether he'll make another run for the White House. The 2012 GOP nominee is expected to hold a conference call with backers. The former Massachusetts governor has spent the past 3 weeks making public appearances to gauge whether he would have enough support if he tries for the nomination again next year. Los Angeles authorities are charging rap mogul Suge Knight with murder. Media reports in Los Angeles indicate Knight has been booked on a murder charge connected to yesterday's fatal hit-and-run in Westwood. Knight's bail is reported to be $2 million. The Senate is sending a bill to build the controversial Keystone XL oil pipeline back to the House. President Obama threatens to veto the legislation, which aims to bypass his authority over the proposed project. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell delivers his annual pre-Super Bowl State of the League address today. Goodell's expected to comment on Deflategate for the first time and the investigation into the underinflated footballs used by the New England Patriots in their AFC Championship win over Indianapolis. This is USA Radio News.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their three daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty rewards cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinners at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. Now they are looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. We call it the Blue Card. One card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts, cash back, it even accumulates points to shop at participating merchants and an online mall. It's free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it's used.
You're listening to HuntingChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Is managing editor for misleading statements about his experiences in the Iraq War. NBC chief executive Steve Burke says Williams' actions jeopardized the trust invested in him by viewers during his decade as the network's lead anchor. However, Burke also said Williams deserves a second chance.
Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
is managing editor for misleading statements about his experiences in the Iraq War. NBC chief executive Steve Burke says Williams' actions jeopardized the trust invested in him by viewers during his decade as the network's lead anchor. However, Burke also said Williams deserves a second chance. Last week, Williams apologized for saying he was on a helicopter that was hit by a grenade while he was covering the Iraq War in 2003. I'm Mike Rossia.
The White House says that nearly all of the troops sent to West Africa to help in the battle against Ebola are heading home soon. About 1,500 of the 2,800 troops dispatched are already home. After April 30th, only 100 troops will remain in Africa. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Musicians, right now during Guitar Center's President's Day sale, save up to 60% off the best selection of guitars, drums, keyboards, DJ, and more. Deals like a Fender Squire Strat, now just $99. Ernie Ball acoustic guitar strings, three sets for $12. Or a PreSonus AudioBox USB interface, just $69. Plus, grab your copy of The List, featuring hundreds of deals so good we can't advertise them. Or create a deal with a cash-saving coupon from GuitarCenter.com. Don't miss the savings this President's Day weekend at Guitar Center.
British authorities are reevaluating their plan to have 24-hour surveillance on the Ecuadorian embassy in an attempt to catch an international fugitive hiding within its walls. More now from London correspondent Kyle McKinnon.
They're standing watch outside the Ecuadorian embassy here, not to protect the building, but in case Assange decides to make a run for it. The founder of WikiLeaks has been holed up in the embassy since June 2012, when he took refuge there to avoid extradition. Swedish officials want Assange sent to their country for questioning about possible sexual assaults. Assange denies wrongdoing and says he fears he'll be sent to the U.S. The Metropolitan Police Commissioner told a local radio station the resources spent to keep tabs on Assange, about $15,000 a day, require some review. Kyle McKinnon, London.
A Florida attorney is causing headaches for local law enforcement over DUI arrests. The full story now from correspondent Tony Winton.
The tactic is simple.
Good evening, man. How you doing?
Lawyer Warren Redlick has created a flyer to display to police while keeping your car window rolled up.
People don't realize that innocent people get arrested for drunk driving. It happens a lot.
It says, I remain silent. No searches. I want my lawyer. Miami Police Sergeant Luis Taborda says checkpoints are done to save lives, not trap people.
I have to be that one that's got to knock on somebody's door and see the pain.
Redlick says he's not advocating confrontation and says motorists should follow police commands. His flyer has yet to be tested in court. Tony Winton, Miami.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
It is 9:05. It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. It's 24 degrees right now. It doesn't feel that way. In Flemington, it's down to 12 really as a wind chill. So we have 13 mile an hour winds, making it a lot colder than you think. Today is February 11th, 2015. Sunshine and a few afternoon clouds today. A high of 35. Winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies early this evening will give way to cloudy skies late. A low of 20. Winds light and variable. Cloudy and a few flurries or snow showers possible tomorrow and a high of 36. Southwest winds shifting to northwest 10 to 15 miles an hour. 5-day forecast Friday the 13th. Mostly sunny skies and a high of 18. Cloudy and snow showers developing in the afternoon on Valentine's Day, a high of 33. Chance of snow 80%, but not a big significant accumulation. On Sunday, windy. Cloudy skies will become mostly sunny in the afternoon, a high of only 13. A low of negative 1, and then a Monday, mainly sunny sky, a high around 20. Temperatures in our area, I have 23 in Franklin, 23 in Lebanon, 25 in Reddington, 26 in Raritan, 25 in Ringos, and 26 in Kingwood. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Well, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and HuntingChamberRadio.com. We're here with a number of people in my midst. We're going to talk about the One Stop Career Center in Flemington. I have three folks with me right now. We're expecting a fourth. I have Monica Mulligan, the One Stop Operator Coordinator of Somerset County. I have John Maddox, the Director of Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board. And I have Hunterdon County Freeholder Suzanne Legay, who's a liaison. And I want to welcome them all in. It's time to talk about the One Stop Career Center. Good morning, Monica. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm very good. Thank you for coming on in. John, I want to thank you for coming on in and also organizing all this. This is kind of cool. We're going to chat a little bit about getting people back on the employment circus. So could you just say hello and give us a little introduction as to who you are and what you do?
My name is Monica Mulligan. I'm the one-stop operator for the Greater Raritan One Stop, okay, serving both Somerset and Hunterdon counties.
Okay, and John, your role?
And good morning. My name is John Maddox. I serve as the executive director of the Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board, mm-hmm, and as Monica said, serving both Somerset and Hunterdon counties.
Yep. Which is an interesting conversation we'll have in a few minutes, because there's a huge difference in population between the two counties. And Ms. Legay, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Except after hearing your weather report, Chris, I think I want to hibernate.
It's not that bad. The last 2 weeks, it's been a lot worse, really. Believe me. All I keep saying is, I'm reading it now, but it's going to change. It always does, right? The weather always changes.
Usually while you're saying the sentence.
Absolutely. Sometimes I do this, and it changes on the hour. So, you feel like an idiot because you talked about snow one day, and it, all of a sudden it's gone. So they just keep you guessing. What can I tell you? So we're in Hunterdon County. The One Stop Career Center is in Flemington, right?
That's Flemington, yes. Right. We just opened December 19th, a location, mm-hmm, at 6 Gaunt Place, Building 2, lower level, through the work of the Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board and, of course, the support of our freeholders. Suzanne Legay, of course, was very instrumental in helping us find some space, here in the center of Flemington. So
right,
we're very excited to have that place open.
Sure.
And welcome customers and businesses.
Now, I love the fact that you said our freeholders, but you're in the Somerset County.
Well, Greater Raritan serves both Hunterdon and Somerset County, so I have to say that there's a great partnership between the two counties, mm-hmm, working together with money that comes down from the federal government to the state government.
Right.
And we've worked together for a number of years through a joint agreement. And though there are differences in the counties, there's a lot of similarities, too, of similarities with our workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been a great relationship, I feel. Suzanne, I don't know if you have anything you want to comment there, but absolutely great relationship between the two counties.
So the One Stop Career Center. Now, there's been a career center there for a long time, but things have changed. I think that's what we're trying to get at today.
Things have changed, absolutely. We did have a smaller location. We were actually co-located with another vendor at 200 Main Street. But this is a standalone location for the Greater Raritan One Stop, which is the in about 10 years, we haven't had a standalone location. So this is really monumental for us to be in one place, and especially because it's such a central location, mm-hmm, for people, easy to get to, easy to access.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. So even though we have been serving Hunterdon residents as well as Somerset residents for a number of years, mm-hmm, we're hoping that we can attract more customers and more businesses to take advantage of all the services that we have available to us. We've kind of been a hidden gem,
right,
and we're trying to, now be out there shining brightly. So,
well, I'm going to get to the hidden gem in a few minutes, but I do want to clear up some things, because we have a number of different organizations that are represented in the room here. You're part of the Somerset County Business Partnership. Is that right?
I am not.
You're not.
I'm part of Human Services. That's
you're part of Human Services.
Yeah.
John is part of the Somerset County Business Partnership, but he's also part of the Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board. And Suzanne Legay is part of the Hunter County Freeholders. So how did the – I guess my first question, John, maybe you can help me with this, or maybe Paul, who just joined us, Paul Grisella just joined us. Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board, what is that organization? What does it encompass? How did it get started, and what's its mission?
Great. Thanks. Thank you, Chris. So for fear of being a policy wonk here, which I've been accused of often,
okay.
Simply put, the Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board has two primary responsibilities and priorities.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is to understand the workforce needs of employers.
Okay.
That is the most critical role that a workforce investment board plays.
Right.
It then uses that knowledge in its other role, which is to provide oversight of the one-stop operator.
Mm-hmm.
We exercise that authority through budgeting processes and program development. Not that we need to exercise it,
right.
But that's the authority we have.
Sure.
Look out.
Yeah.
Look out.
So simply put, if you would put this in organizational structural terms,
right.
The one-stop operator reports to the Workforce Investment Board on two critical areas. One is how they are serving the future workforce needs of employers, and how they are investing funding and meeting their performance measures.
Right, right.
And we do that with, I should say, our structure is we do that with a majority private sector board, of which Paul Grisella is chair,
mm-hmm.
and those board members are appointed by each of the freeholder boards.
Okay.
Somerset County appoints board members,
sure.
Hunterdon County appoints board members.
And the Greater Raritan, what's the geographical region? Is it just Somerset and Hunterdon?
Yes, just Somerset, okay. And Hunterdon, although I will clarify that our services are not necessary by law. Our services are not exclusive to those two communities. We're required to serve mm-hmm. basically whoever presents themselves.
Okay. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
And you're the chairman of the
Correct.
Greater Raritan Workforce.
Correct.
What is the volunteer chair? Volunteer chairman, which
right.
means your salary is as big as mine.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Got
my
you.
Real job is the general manager and editor of the Courier News, Home News Tribune, and MyCentralJersey.com.
Pleasure to meet you, okay. sir.
And I've been with the GRWIB for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Someone from another community volunteer asked me to get involved because of my knowledge of the community based on being in local media.
Right.
And because I often hear from business people about needs and concerns, and I thought it would be something that would be interesting and somewhat challenging to do,
right.
because I'm used to working in the private sector, and this is a federally funded organization working governmentally, so it has a different feel to it.
Sure.
And one that I had to learn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And four years later, they made you chairman. All right. One of the things that was been talked about all last year, and I'm sure Somerset County dealt with it as well, as the SEDS. And in the Hunterdon County picture, employment here was a big concern, and it still is a big concern. And I talk with Joe Patton of Patton Heine Associates all the time about how we talk about the unemployment rate being at 5.6, but there's the U6 number, which is the lack of employment, the lack of level of employment, the salaries not being at the right level, people taking a lot of part-time jobs. So this bringing the one-stop career center and unveiling it and having its mission is going to be very important, I believe, for helping out Hunterdon County, of course. But I'm not very familiar with the Somerset County plight, so I would like to ask Suzanne and anybody else that has any awareness of Somerset County, what is the current status of Hunterdon County, Somerset County, with regard to unemployment, and how the One Stop Career Center will play a part in that?
I can speak to Hunterdon, and I'm going to ask one of my colleagues sure. here who's well-versed in the demographics and the workforce
right.
issues. I am assuming they're not that different. However, what we know is that we're having people that are underemployed or, as you say, part-time or less than full-time employment and so
right.
forth. As our some of our major corporate giants are moving out,
mm-hmm.
We have some of those folks. So for us, the thrill of having this one stop open here really is to have access to folks who are quite employable and looking for that connection with businesses and so forth.
Sure.
There are a multitude of services that are provided at the one stop that will help all of our community.
Right.
But I think in our county, we are looking for people to make their way to businesses. And that's a two-way conversation, Chris. You know, it's that when we outreach to businesses, we find out what it is that they want and need.
Right.
And the organization over at the One Stop Workforce mm-hmm. Investment Board has a whole multitude of training, and I think Monica can talk about that. If
sure.
You might have an executive who doesn't have his or her skills up in terms of computer savvy or something
right.
like that. So it's a wide variety of service that's offered. But I think in terms of the Hunterdon population, it might be experiencing little bit different than
sure.
than the folks, and the big news is that people don't have to get in the car and drive to Somerset just to have those services anymore, and that's very cool.
Right. Somerset County has over 600,000 residents, right? And Hunterdon County, we're only 130 or 120 something and change. So there's a significant difference in population. But what is the employment like in Somerset compared to Hunterdon? Anybody?
Yeah, Chris, actually, Somerset's population is a little over 300,000.
Oh, so I got
it's
that
about two-thirds, one-third populations
okay.
between Somerset and Hunterdon. If I might, though,
sure.
you bring up a very interesting point, which is the connection between economic development and workforce delivery,
mm-hmm.
as I like to call it. Often we refer to that as workforce development. But the fact of the matter is that nothing really happens until – a trained employee is delivered to the employer.
Right.
And it is that connection that we are looking to focus on.
Yep.
The connection between employment opportunities, i.e. economic development, and workforce delivery.
Sure.
And those are the services that Monica brings to the table, so that when an employer presents themselves
mm-hmm.
as a potential relocation or expansion in
sure.
one of our communities, we can deliver a series of resources to that employer that will make it more likely that they will hire additional employees.
Right.
And that's our main goal as a WIB. And Monica provides those specific services, or part of those specific
services. We'll take a break real quick, and we're going to come and get down to the nitty-gritty about the one-stop and all the services that are available. But I do want to make this comment before we leave, and that is, I've been talking to Hunterdon County Polytech, I've been talking to Raritan Valley Community College, and now I'm hearing the same message from you folks, and that is there's a paradigm shift that's taken place where everybody used to go out and just look for a job. And what's starting to happen now is we're talking to the business owners and saying, what do you need? What type of skills do you want? And you folks, Raritan Valley Community College and Polytech, are all training people to achieve that. That is a huge difference, and I hope it's going to come to fruition. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of these folks about the One Stop Career Center right after this.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon. HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're talking about the one-stop career center on 6th Gaunt Place. And we're talking about all the different background to why it was created, but now we're going to head down to the services and why and all the different activities and people that are involved. So essentially, the way it used to be was you get on the unemployment line, you get the unemployment benefits, and they would say, go on down to whatever it used to be, and you'd get on a line or sit in a chair, and it would take you through it. Now I'm getting a sense that's a lot more immersion into making getting people on the right track with where they need to be in terms of skills. So what is when did it all open? When did it change? And we'll start to get into some of the services. Is it Monica? You're the you're the operator.
I am the one-stop operator.
One-stop operator.
So really, most of the people enter our system through the unemployment system. You're talking about unemployment lines. We don't have those anymore because most people now file online.
Right.
They file online or they file by phone. So technology has certainly taken this system by storm.
Mm-hmm.
So once people file for unemployment, they work with employment services, with counselors who try to help them find jobs.
Right.
But a lot of times, like you were talking about, people need new skills. I mean, everything is changing. The workforce is changing. The way people do jobs are changing. And a lot of times people need training, like you said, to match the skills of what businesses need. And so we do have that connection. There are positions, there are trainings that are considered in demand. That means that there are employers out there that need people trained in these specific fields.
Mm-hmm.
They have job openings for them, so we want to train people in those fields and get them back to work. So we work with people who have been laid off from work, people who are unemployed. We work with veterans. We work with youth. We work with people with disabilities. We work with people on public assistance, and we work with ex-offenders. And one of the things I want to say is that all these services are free. There's so many services out there now for people who are looking for work and for businesses as well that people have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
These are services that are provided by your tax dollars, and we really want people to start taking advantage of those because we have people that are well-trained.
Right.
We have funding that's available to put people into training and get them back into the workforce. That's the end goal. So really the connection is we work with people to make them the best employees that they can be so that the businesses – have great people to hire.
Sure. Can you tell me a little bit about how you go about surveying the businesses? How do you? We have thousands upon thousands of businesses, small, medium, and large in Somerset and Hunterdon County. How do you gauge what it is that they're looking for? And is there a trend? Is there a? Is there some type of?
Well, one of the things to answer that. One of the things that we did. In the past year was create a business outreach coordinator position to answer that very question that you just asked.
Sure.
Trying to go out, and this is someone who has their feet on the street, and this person just started in this position, but her goal is to try to get it. We think in our gut we kind of understand what businesses are looking for. Sometimes we've been fortunate to have some medium-sized employers come talk to us, but we really want to get them engaged as possible so that we understand that we're on the right track and helping people get a job that leads to a sustainable career.
Right.
That's really not only a goal of this WIB, but of the entire statewide network to create sustainable jobs that lead to lifelong careers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Chris, if I might give you a real life example of that, and to your point on the intersection of the WIB, one-stop services, the mm-hmm. community college. Recently, Raritan Valley Community College implemented an advanced manufacturing training program. They had 10 students in that program. They graduated 10 students.
Yep.
Of those 10 students collectively received 30 job offers.
Mm-hmm.
30 job offers, all at more than a livable wage.
Right.
$15, $16 an hour up to $24 an hour.
Right.
What that shows us as a workforce investment board is that there is a true demand for not only that type of training, mm-hmm. but also that type of employee. So what we have done as a workforce investment board, working with a one-stop operator, is focused investments, training investments, mm-hmm. in the advanced manufacturing sector, based on the demands of employers.
Sure.
Because what that tells us is there were 20 jobs out there that remain unfilled.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of the huge problems with our economic situation right now, is that we have all these people looking for jobs, have given up, and we've got all these employers who have holes to fill, and they cannot be connected. That is, has been the issue for 8 years plus right now.
Can I just jump in a second?
You can always jump in, Monica.
Because I do want to mention, too, what we also provide out of the one-stop through our state partner, the New Jersey Department of Labor. We do have a business's services representative, mm-hmm. and they do hold what are called recruitments. So
okay.
those are recruitment events where they bring in an employer that has specific job openings,
mm-hmm.
and then we provide the customers, and that we bring them together in a room. And usually the employer does a presentation, gives an overview of the job, does on-site interviews.
Sure.
And we've had huge success with that. So if we had more employers that were reaching out to have those on-site recruitments,
right.
we could be doing better matching of the employees that we have trained
right.
with these positions. So we really want the business community to know about the services that we offer. Again, can I say it for free? Because
for
that's
free.
A big thing.
It's,
you know, it's great that these are not things that you have to pay for. They're
yeah.
available.
Yeah. So, let's pretend I'm somebody that's in need of a job, and I think I learn about this right now. I'm going to come on down. What's the process? What do I experience as an individual when I walk in?
Right. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to work with a career counselor. Who's
okay.
going to talk to you about all of your history, all of your work history, maybe do some assessments with you,
mm-hmm.
Help you look for employment. Because on the front end, that's what we really want to do. If we can connect people with employment right away, we want to get them back into the job market.
Okay.
Back with another employee. If we find that people need additional training to make them more marketable, I mean, we especially look at this in the technology field,
mm-hmm.
in the healthcare fields, where everything is so rapidly changing,
right.
that if you are downsized from a position, you probably need some new training in order to get back into emerging fields.
Sure.
So we provide that training. We actually have training grants available for people to send them to training.
For free.
Again, I want to keep saying that. You know, so many times there's things with strings attached. There's really no strings attached with this other than we have to stay in touch with you so that we can find out how you're doing and if you've gotten a job so that
sure.
we can continue to get money in, because as we continue to be successful, the federal government and the state continue to provide us with money.
Okay.
So really that's the only string attached, that you have to get an email from us or phone call from us every once in a while to see how you're doing. But we will put you in a training
mm-hmm.
program. We work with over 80 training providers across the state, providing a wide array of training and in-demand occupations. Again, those are occupations where the state has determined there are openings. So these are positions where we know people are going to be very successful in getting jobs.
Sure. What are some of the highlighted trainings that are taking place right now? Obviously, some is computers.
Right. So the state and even our local Workforce Investment Board has focused on a number of areas.
Right.
So that's the life sciences, the financial sector, healthcare, technology, mm-hmm. transportation and logistics distribution, and leisure and hospitality. So those are the industry sectors that are really seeing growth.
Okay.
And that we're really focused in on. In our area, where we send the most people to training is in the technology field. And again, because that field is just ever-changing.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you know how it is. As soon as you get a phone or a computer now, you know, you have it 2 days and then there's the next.
That's obsolete.
Yeah, it's obsolete. So everyone needs to stay on top of
right.
technology.
Chris, can I interject something?
it's a democratic process here.
Hey, thank you. and I know this is like a no-no for radio, but in the break, Paul had a stat, which I think is really important for our listeners.
I was going to get there, but
okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
But no, yeah.
You're stealing my thunder.
Well, the reason I'm stealing your thunder.
I'm going to be on your freeholder board soon.
Is that I want our listeners to not shut us off. I want our listeners that Paul's going to talk to you or you guys are going to do to know that they're included in this conversation because of the intentions and outcomes that we intend to produce.
Sure.
So I just want to not exclude a whole bunch of Paul,
I'm
going to turn it back to you,
Chris.
I was
going right there. We think alike. I know that.
Okay.
I was with you for over 9 months. I get it.
That was a program we did together.
I know. It was Leadership 100. It wasn't a Oedipus reference. So Paul, one of the things you did mention on break that Suzanne reminded me of is that this is not just for a technician. This is not just for a low-wage individual. You had mentioned that a significant number of people have post-high school degrees, bachelor's degrees. What's that stat?
The claimants in the fourth quarter in Somerset County, 34.2% had a bachelor, and this is uninsured. For unemployment, 34.2% in the fourth quarter had a bachelor's degree or more.
Right.
In Hunterdon County, it was 33.6%. So we know that we're dealing with, well, as Monica mentioned, we're dealing with an array of different types of people. We do still have a high degree, a number of people who were successful
mm-hmm.
and now are trying to transition themselves back into their old field and get new skills or go into an entirely different direction using the skills that they had success on previously, but now just have to retool themselves.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Which brings me to another question, Monica. Given the fact that the world has changed significantly over the last 3 years, 8 years, however you want to count it, there's always a disconnect between the individual that's walking in the door and the employers that you're looking to provide employees to.
Yes.
How do you match those two? How does the mindset of the client coming in, how do you massage that so they are prepared to understand that they, A, have to put the effort in, B, have to probably change industries, C, maybe have to take on new skills? Because initially, they're going through a grieving period.
Absolutely.
So it's not the hard skills all the time. It's sometimes a psychotherapy session.
It is. You know, we have career counselors that are all licensed by the state to mm-hmm. work with people that are coming in with those multifaceted problems. Because a lot of times if people have been out of work, they're experiencing other issues that are going on too.
Right.
But we work with them to come up with a very concrete plan.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a number of assessments that we can do with people so people can, get a better feel for what their skills are and how they can translate into new industries.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we do is provide a wide array of workshops for people.
Okay.
Because, you know, the workplace has changed. The way you do a resume is different. The way you interview. Now we have people, there's Skype interviews. I mean, that's a big thing now.
Yep.
It's not always the face-to-face interview that people are getting. So people really need new skills in the soft skills area.
Sure.
So we put on monthly workshops both in Somerset County and in Hunterdon County that help people. And these are free, again, free, for customers. You know, mastering the interview, resume writing, how to thrive during a time of transition,
mm-hmm.
You know, the art of effective communication. I know one of the things, the intergenerational workplace, because we have a lot of people that we're working with that might be in their 50s now that are going for an interview with someone who's 29.
Right.
You know, how do you handle that? That's very different from what people are used to. Even applying for jobs now, a lot is online. You don't look in a newspaper. Sorry, Paul.
No,
I know problem. That you know.
No, well, we
that's
have
a, I think Paul
online,
knows
right?
that.
We have a thrivingcareers.com.
You do, but this is what I'm saying. I mean, if you've been in the workforce, if you've had your job for 20, 30 years, even applying for a job is very different than it was then. The use of social media.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you've been in a field where these things are you've had access to these are all new areas. So
right.
we really do have to work with people to get them connected, and even employers, because even employers that are looking for employees, again, it's very different the way they have to go about seeking for employees, because again, we have great businesses that are looking for people, and we have great people looking for jobs.
Yep.
So it is all about making those connections.
I just did an article yesterday on my tech show that LinkedIn essentially destroyed the recruitment process.
Yes.
The employers now go out to LinkedIn all the time looking for, and they hire recruiters in-house to search and just search LinkedIn profiles to see if they can get them.
Absolutely.
So it's a whole different world, and where it used to be three or four resumes came in for a job, now it's hundreds upon hundreds of resumes coming in, to which the employers are getting bombarded with. So here's the really cool thing about what I believe the one-stop center does, is that it targets an employer with a potential set of employees that have been groomed for that potential fill. So it takes away the issue of the employer having to search through hundreds of resumes, and they're starting to get a sense that they're going to have a quality candidate coming in their midst.
Yes.
So what is the time frame for somebody, the expectations for somebody that's coming off the street and is trying to seek reemployment with you folks?
Well, first, people have to be out there actively seeking employment before they come for training.
Okay.
So that time frame there is usually a month that we ask for people to be actively seeking employment.
All right.
And then once it's determined that training is what they need, you know, it can be very short depending on if that person knows exactly what they want when they come in, or if they need a little bit more time in figuring out what type of training program they need. So
okay.
it really varies from person to person. But once they meet with us at the one stop, we can, and if they know where they want to go, and there's a program starting right away, we can get people into those programs immediately. There's really no wait. You know, this is rolling. We're meeting with people every day. We're putting people into training every day.
Mm-hmm. Is it necessary to make an appointment at the one stop?
People can just stop in. I would recommend calling and making an appointment. That way, if you're coming and our counselors are all busy, that no one has to sit and wait.
Sure.
So the best way would be to make an appointment, but people are, and businesses, stop in at any time and see us.
Okay. And we do know that last month in Hunterdon, we had 15 walk-ins at a time when people didn't even know we were open yet, just within that first month.
Right.
So there's definitely, you know, we're happy to have people walk in.
Absolutely. Sure.
But as Monica said, it's best to have always effective to make an appointment.
Well, we want to just respect people's
right.
time. So we don't want them to come and be frustrated by sitting and waiting for a counselor.
There you go.
But
so you've got it organized. If you know that somebody's coming in, you can make arrangements to make their time more efficient.
Absolutely.
There is another element to this that's, I think, as I was going through this as a volunteer, that's a little bit different, that we really haven't talked about, is the youth portion of what we do, which is, I think, is different from what we've been talking about now. And how challenging that particular population can be.
Now youth, sorry to interject, but youth is a relative term. So what is your definition of youth in this case?
It's not anyone sitting here.
I know.
I'm very youthful, Paul.
Good for you.
But I don't fall into the youth category according to the federal and state
government. Right.
But we're talking about youth between the ages of 16 and 21.
Okay.
So that's the population that we're working with now. And we do have a different way of working with those youth because obviously their needs are different than someone who's been in the workplace for 20 years and now has been laid off from a position.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a program called the Youth Employment Services Program, also known as the YES Program, that works specifically with those youth. And we have partners in both Hunterdon and Somerset County. We work with Hunterdon County Polytech to help us recruit youth for that program, to find youth that fit the eligibility guidelines. Mm-hmm. And we work with Middle Earth in Somerset County for outreach to find youth there.
Right.
And then we have two case managers that work specifically with youth in our one stop. And we have we work with Middle Earth. They provide a work readiness program and a work readiness credential for youth. Because, again, a lot of these kids don't have experience in the workforce. They don't have the soft skills that they need to be able to get out there and find a job. We can also provide training for those youth, too. But it's more important for us to make sure that they get that they finish high school or they get a high school equivalency certification or some other type of certification. And then, again, the goal is still the same, to get people into employment that aren't just jobs, but our careers.
Okay.
So a lot of times we're putting these youth into trainings that allow for what we call stackable credentials, which means they're starting off in an entry-level position, but it's not a dead-end entry-level position. It's an entry-level position where there's room to grow and go up the ladder.
So 16 to 21, it's hard for me to imagine that a 16-year-old who's graduated high school is looking for a career at that particular point, but...
Right. We all knew.
And that's part of the challenge,
yeah,
too. But you try to help that population understand what's realistic.
Right. And at some point, are they trying to balance a school and work, or you?
Well, the youth that we work with are really the most at-risk youth. These
sure.
are youth that have dropped out of high school.
Okay.
So really, our goal is to make sure that they get their high school equivalency and that they have some of those skills. You know, because when you stay in high school, it's more than just the educational learning that happens. There's a whole social piece there that happens as well. So if you've been out of school, you're not getting the benefit of that, having to be someplace at a very specific time in the morning, having to call school if you're not going to be there. So, of course, those are skills that everyone learns that translate into the workplace. So if you've been out of school, you're also rusty. Those skills are a little rusty.
Sure.
So we work a lot with those youth. And, of course, they present with other issues as well that we also address. You know, if they've got substance abuse or mental health issues, if they have children of their own, if they're homeless.
Right.
Unfortunately, you know, we have these youth out there. And we know if we don't put in the time now to them, where are they going to be,
five years, ten years
from now?
Back on another Hunterdon County plan at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's put the services in on the front end and then have good, productive citizens.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more about the One Stop Career Center on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose, in that you're no longer thirsty, and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. We're talking about the One Stop Career Center, part of the Greater Raritan Workforce Investment Board. And one of the things that I had noticed, and I was referring to back when we talked about Hunterdon County Polytech and Raritan Valley Community College, is the key to their success when they were placing all those individuals that you referred to, John, was that they brought them in an internship, and the internship, they got feedback from the individual employers as to what they had, that they would say, I would sign this person up in a minute, or they would send them back and get some more training or some more things to be functioning and working on for the sake of employment again. Is that type of a process in this as well? With this internship or getting some external feedback on the candidates and whether they're successful?
Absolutely. Right. Our highest priority as a workforce investment board is to hear from employers on what their needs are. And we have a commitment to reaching out to employers that is a strategic actually embodied in several of the strategic priorities of the WIB.
Mm-hmm.
We have recently added a staff person to focus on that. And in addition to reaching out directly to employers to hear what their specific needs are, we have a commitment to engaging our partners in that effort so that all of the partners in the workforce delivery system understand what those needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear from an employer, we are able to carry that message not only to Monica, but to the Somerset County VOTEC, Hunterdon Polytech, Raritan Valley Community College, the State Department of Labor, who may not be aware
right.
on a local level what the exact employer requirements are.
Neat. And then the other thing that I've heard time and time again, especially being part of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, is you can do all this work, you can post all your resumes, you can get all this training, but if you cannot make the quote-unquote connection, it's really not going to be of much success. The way to get connections is networking. And, Monica, you were talking about that there's a networking arm to all of this.
There is a networking arm that's run. It's called the Jersey Job Club. And that's a place where people can come.
Mm-hmm.
They meet with other people. There's workshops available to them. Meeting people in various fields. We have guest speakers that come in and businesses that come in and present. And it's really a great place for people to get together and somewhere for people to go during the day
right.
where they really feel like they're part of a larger group. So that's excellent. And the other thing that I want to mention, too. Oh, so I don't know. I'd have to get the specifics of the Jersey Job Club and their schedule because
okay.
it varies. But we will make sure we put that out on our website.
They meet separate from the
They
work
meet
center.
Separately, yes. They
okay.
meet separately because that's their own entity.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'll get some information out there so people can access on
okay.
our website. What I do also want to mention, too, because we're acutely aware of the employer's needs. And we know how much effort goes into training a new employee.
Right.
So one of the most important things for us is to also provide on-the-job training. So if there's an employer that wants to hire someone, but they say, you know, this is a very technical job, and they do have all the background that we want, but we have very business-specific tasks for them to do here that you don't learn in school. You know, these don't come out of a book. This only comes by working in our company.
Right.
And because there's a huge investment of time
there.
So it's
cultural or soft skills. Which
exactly.
One?
Well, it's more technical, I would say,
okay.
Because you might have a very technical way that you run something in your organization that is different from any other organization.
You mean like lab or machinery
lab.
Or computer programming,
yes.
That kind of
some
thing?
Some sort okay. of a process that you might have generally learned, but now here's specifically how we do it at our company.
Right.
So we make investments, too, in on-the-job training, and that means that employers can hire someone, and they can receive between $4,000 and $10,000 back for training that employee.
Nice.
Of course, the caveat there is once they pass that period that they have to continue
sure.
to keep that employee hired there and work with them. But we do realize what an investment employers make when they're hiring somebody new. So we want to get the news out to employers about that, too, to make sure that there's incentives here for them to work with our customers as well.
One of the things I'd like to leave us with before we give out all the contact information and stuff is, all three, four of you in here been doing this. There's an obvious passion to it. What are some of the success stories? What are some of the things that make you get up in the morning and said, this is cool, this is working out for me?
Well, personally, as the volunteer here and the only non-public